Welcome to Comics,
episode
272.
This week, we talk about
Defenders, Indefensible.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast.
Hey, did you guys see Donald Glover got cast as Lando Calrissian?
Yes, really?
Oh my
God.
That makes me quite happy. Did you guys watch the trailer for Logan?
No.
Dude, it looks so good. So it's going to be the final Hugh Jackman Wolverine movie, and he's old.
Okay.
And then there's also old Professor X. And then there's X-23.
Ooh, hey.
Interesting.
And I saw an interesting statistic on Reddit today that Patrick Stewart has now starred in more X-Men movies than Star Trek movies.
Huh. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. But he was on TNG for straight up 7 years.
Yeah. No, I just thought it's an interesting statistic.
Yeah.
What it means is we need more TNG movies.
That's true. Not going to get them.
Good ones. Not like the one right after First Contact?
Generations?
That would be Insurrection.
Insurrection. Which one was it? It's been so long. Maybe I'm thinking of Generations.
Generations was the one before.
Nemesis is simultaneously the best one and the worst one. It's the worst one because it's not a good movie, but it's the best one because it shows that Janeway became an admiral and is the only captain out of all of the Star Trek franchise to become admiral and keep it. Everybody else gets demoted before they die. Picard,
that's so sad when you put it that way.
Like Kirk gets demoted back to captain and then he dies. And then Picard never makes admiral. Archer never makes admiral because he retires as a captain and then goes off and does other stuff. And that leaves Sisko, who transcends to a different plane of reality as a captain. So Janeway is literally the only one to make admiral and keep it.
Yeah, but Sisko's the only one who became an emissary.
Yeah, he's like half god now.
So.
But it's still not an admiral.
Yeah, and they did not give him an honorary rank for doing that. Posthumously make him admiral.
He's a emissary. That's his new rank.
Yeah. He could be admiral emissary, though, and he's not.
Admiral emissary Sisko?
Admiral emissary, yes.
It has a ring to it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Nemesis is good because it proves once and for all that Janeway was the best Starfleet officer.
You know, a lot of terrible things happened around that scene of the movie.
Yeah, I know.
Just saying.
There's a lot of bad things in that movie.
Yeah.
But I like to cite it because Janeway's an admiral and I love me some Janeway.
Okay.
Yes. You guys want to talk about this week's comic?
Sure.
Alright.
This week's comic.
This week we read Defenders, Indefensible. It collects the only 5 issues of the run from 2005. Done by the terrible trio of Demon Taste, Giffen, and shit.
Kevin Maguire?
God, yes, Kevin Maguire. God, it is late and I'm tired. And I really did enjoy reading this, but I fell asleep twice. So I was on vacation for a week, and it's not a vacation when you're hauling around a 10-month-old, and I went straight back to work, and work has been crappy for a week. So I am like,
welcome to parenting.
I am wiped the fuck out, man. And then I'm performing a wedding tomorrow. Yes. So yeah, Defenders, Indefensible. This is the last of our Netflix fall 2016 kind of like
thing.
I don't know. I never came up with a good name. So we did Power Man, we did Iron Fist, and we did Shadowland because that kind of ties in those characters that are street level. But Netflix is doing a show called Defenders, which has none of these people in. But this is what the Defenders... Like, when I think of Defenders, I think of a team like this. Usually Namor, definitely Doctor Strange, probably Silver Surfer, maybe Hulk. You know, like, I think
that's the core lineup
for the
Defenders.
That's who I think of as the Defenders. And I really don't... My main exposure to the Defenders as a team is through HeroClix. This is the most I've read of the Defenders. And then I have, like, you know when you read enough comics in a certain universe, you get, like, a tertiary knowledge of who's on what teams. So I kind of knew the Defenders was these sorts of people, but I never actually read them, and it has nothing to do with the Defenders on Netflix. But they're naming the show Defenders, so we wanted to read the Defenders comic.
Yes.
And we picked it. And we picked this one. And this... I simultaneously really like this and was super bored by it. And I feel bad saying that because I really like this creative team.
I see where you're coming from.
Okay, good. And I'm not the only one.
It's not that I thought it was... Well, I loved it for the reasons why I love this creative team.
Yes.
But the story was kind of meh.
Yeah.
It was kind of meh. But the... Man, God, I never... Kevin Maguire's art never gets old for me.
No. All the face, like, work is spectacular.
Yeah, he's the master of facial expressions.
Yeah. There was no... After the first issue, there was no part of this storyline that wasn't predictable.
Yeah, it was pretty predictable. Yeah.
And I feel
I was just gonna say, like, I feel like comics tend to fall into one of two categories, especially Cape comics, where it's either, like, action-packed and you have some suspense of, like, you know, what bad thing is going to happen, or it's really comedic. And I feel like this bridged that gap, but because it didn't fall heavily into one or the other, it was, like, enjoyable because it was funny, but it wasn't funny enough to make it, like, ha-ha uproarious, and it wasn't action-y enough to keep you, like, turning pages.
Yeah. Yes. I think you're exactly right. Because the parts that I liked for the haha stuff was, like, the back and forth between Namor and Doctor Strange.
I also like the back and forth between Dormammu and his sister.
Umar.
Yes.
Yeah. They were great, too. Great. And us. And Umar. As he's making these giant proclamations.
But I think, I think that back and forth, like, bantering is what this creative team is really good at,
mm-hmm.
And so that's part of the reason why I think we enjoyed those things, because, those are the reasons why we like, this team.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing that made them famous, I guess. I mean, they were probably famous before, but.
No, and I think I would have been way more enthralled with this if I hadn't read I Can't Believe It's Not the Justice League and what was the sequel to that one called?
I forget.
I don't know, but they're both great. And I feel like if I hadn't read those, I would really be in love with this, because there's similar kind of things going on here. Like, they go into Dormammu world, but in the sequel Justice League one, they go into hell. Except they don't just go to hell and like come out. They go to hell, and there's a burger joint there, and they work in the burger joint in hell, and it makes no sense, and it's fucking insane and crazy, and it makes it so much more unpredictable to read, and because it's so unpredictable, it feels so much more free, and that makes it funnier, but then also that lets you put your guard down, because that same run at the end is where they run into Ice and Guy is there, and they're trying to get Ice out of hell, and fire, and all Guy has to do is not turn around, like the whole Greek thing. And it's like, there was that huge part of it that, like, yes, it's funny and it takes you around all these places you don't expect, but then there's also a really heartwarming thing that they show reverence for in that team. And I don't know, I don't feel like, maybe they didn't have the attachment to these characters, but I didn't feel that with these characters. Probably because the plot felt so predictable. I never felt like, oh my god, that's crazy, ha, there's a burger joint in Dormammu. Like, I know they wouldn't do that again, but like,
it's just no. Their... I get what you're saying, and I think probably you're right. The fact that they had so much history with this team because they worked on JLI, and then there was formerly known as the Justice League, and I can't believe it's not Justice League. Yeah, yeah. And so they had a long history with this team, and when they did those two, whatchamacallit, I guess...
homages?
Yeah, the formerly known as Justice League, and I can't believe it's not Justice League. You know, it was them revisiting something that they hadn't done in, like, a decade, you know, and so they wanted to, like, knock it out of the park. But with this, I think they were probably trying to capture that magic that they made with that, you know, that series and translate it into a Marvel team, but it's not really the same. I mean, there were so many things about that Justice League run that, you know, make it a really well-rounded comic. I mean, the humor stands out and the facial expressions and those are really great, but like you mentioned, the whole thing with Ice and, you know, the relationship between Ralph and Sue Dibney.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the cast was huge and varied, and everybody played a different role, and maybe it's because this comic was only 5 issues, you know. Maybe if they had more time instead of just throwing them into this conflict immediately, it would have been different. But you know, with the Justice League books, they could make reference to the stuff in the past, and in this there isn't a past that belongs to this creative team. You know, there were Defenders comics before this, but you know, it's not their history, and I don't think you could riff on, you know, somebody else's work in the same way that you could on your own because of, you know, the history that you created.
Yeah. So I don't think it's just because they're doing Marvel. I mean, Dimitase wrote for Marvel one of my favorite Cape comics of all time when he did the Kraven's Last Hunt.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
I don't think it's any fault of the creative team or because it's Marvel or anything. I think it's just because we read, I Can't Believe It's Not the Justice League and formerly known as just, and it's just, those are phenomenal. And this is good, but those are phenomenal. So we know what this team can do.
I mean, part of the thing too is like they had a different tool set when doing this book than they did with the DC stuff.
Yes. And you talked about how they have a bigger team on the DC side. And I think that extra diversity really helped them because this core set of four, really three, Doctor Strange, Namor, Bruce Banner, and Silver Surfer, three of those four are pompous assholes.
Yeah.
And one of them is the Hulk. And the Hulk getting laid never stopped being funny. And Bruce, like, I don't know why, I'm just so calm now. Apparently the Hulk just needed to get laid all these years. And there was nobody to help solve that problem, or nobody wanted to. And, like, that never stopped being funny to me. And I really, really, I've always liked Namor's version of pompous. But Doctor Strange, just the, like, maybe because he reminds me of my... Doctor Strange reminds me of how I would write my papers in college. Just keep bullshitting until a thesis comes out. And that is Doctor Strange in this comic. But Doctor Strange I got tired with. Namor I was like, I don't know. Namor I always liked, and Hulk I always liked. And Silver Surfer wasn't really in this. He was on the first cover, and that was like it.
You know what it is about this comic, though? They're not a team at all. They get together, get transported to another dimension, and then go their separate ways. And, like, they do no teamwork at all. I think that's part of it and what really separates it from, like, for instance, the Justice League run, where it's not about the dynamic between the three team members because, like, they're not really working together. They incidentally end up, like, defeating Dormammu in the end together, but, like, that was just a matter of lucky timing more than planning. Like, no one even knew what the other was doing. And then, like, they don't really resolve or develop anything by the end, except the Hulk is like, oh, you're my friend, Doctor Strange. Like, there's... The dynamic is pretty much the same when they finish as when they start, except maybe the Bruce Banner and Doctor Strange have, like, a slightly better relationship than they did previously.
See, I don't know. That's something I did appreciate in this a little bit more, I guess, because... It, through a lot of this, it seems like Doctor Strange likes Namor, and Namor does not give a shit about Doctor Strange. Like, Doctor Strange a couple times says, you know, I kind of always respected you, you know, even though you're an arrogant bastard, I know that you're going to do the right thing, and I respect that. And Namor's like, I don't give a shit, call me Prince. and there's like a love triangle, because Bruce kind of feels the same way about Doctor Strange. Bruce is like, we're both solitary people, and I feel like I could call you a friend. And Doctor Strange is like, where the fuck did that come from? It's like, if you'd been paying attention, Steven, you might have noticed Bruce has feelings, and he's not just the Hulk. I felt like of all of the interactions between the main characters on this team, that was the one that kind of came along the most before the end.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. Did that. So how big of a deal is Eternity dying?
Apparently not.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know, and like, I haven't read enough of like the Marvel comics to know about the universal structure or whatever. David, do you know? Is this like him killing Spectre, or?
I think Eternity is definitely bigger than Spectre. He's the universe. All universes exist inside of him.
So it really is. He's just like an embodiment of existence.
Okay. Yes. How big of a deal is it? I don't know.
Apparently not, because
he didn't really die.
Umar just wants to get laid apparently a bunch, which is cool.
Yeah,
good for her. She should be able to do that now.
I'm sure he probably isn't really dead.
Yeah, I mean, you can't kill existence, right?
Hopefully.
What was your guys' favorite scene in this?
The Namor's meeting. I love it when Mackenzie is like, he picks up Namor. Or no, Namor picks him up, because Namor can fly. And it's just like, of course you trust me. And Namor, like, insults the fuck out of him. And then he reveals, like, no, I'm you. Like, I love that, because Namor, he just gets a look at, like, oh, I am a pompous asshole, and he's totally cool with it. He's like, well, I'm a prince.
Yeah. So, you get to be a pompous asshole when you're a prince. It's allowed then.
Yeah.
I know, I mean, that's the thing. Nothing really particular stands out other than the Hulk getting laid, which... It's just like, that feels like it's supposed to be a cheap joke, but it's the one that, like, comes back in my mind over and over.
I think you're right. It is a cheap joke. I like the, when, the part where Dormammu is, when they reveal the evil Doctor Strange. That part was pretty funny, because I didn't think it was going to be Doctor Strange. I thought it was going to be Wong, actually.
Oh, yeah,
But I ended up being Wong about that. Sorry.
You know, I am scrolling through, and I actually do like the intro to the very beginning of this, where it's Nightmare talking to Strange, and Strange has just gotten out of bed. And he's trying to do, like, a duel of wits, but he's, like, just woken up, and his hair is, like, all fucked up. That actually did bring me into this comic from the beginning.
I think it was, you know, the comic wasn't, I can't think, it kind of sounds like we're bashing it a little bit and comparing it with their Justice League work. But the truth is, like, on its own, this comic isn't bad.
No, I had a fun time reading it.
I liked the Sauron.
Yeah, like, the Eye of Sauron, Dormammu.
The homage. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a nice touch.
I'm scrolling through and I'm looking at some of the faces and it's making me laugh. Like, there's a part where after Hulk and Umar have sex where Umar's trying to turn him back into the Hulk and Bruce is trying to turn back into the Hulk and he says, Hulk on, it's Hulkin time.
That's what I was looking for.
Shaz Hulk.
That's the Shaz Hulk one got me.
So good. That part was pretty hilarious.
You know,
I think I
is?
Definitely laughed out loud at when I got to that, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like, Kevin Maguire did a great job of making Dormammu very emotive. And he's just a flaming head, you know? There's not necessarily much there, but he did a great job.
Yeah, he's of a making, tough one.
You know, because he's just, like, colors. Oh, the evil Marvel superheroes was pretty funny, too. Like, Daredevil with his little horns and no eyes, and
Spider-Man actually having eight arms.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then didn't the Wolverine have the bone claws instead of the adamantium?
I don't know. I think they're just serrated.
Oh, okay. Oh, so they're like good bread knives too.
Yeah.
I
think his normal claws can probably cut bread.
That's
well
true.
Too.
Yeah. Unless it's really stale.
Yeah. This got deep.
No, I know. I know what you're saying, David. I do feel bad because I was reading this and it's enjoyable. And just
Did you see Iron Fist? He has like oven mitts on.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Oh my god, let me load this up.
Oh my god, no.
I want to see.
It's like on one panel.
Is it issue 5?
It's where. No, it's issue 4. Okay. Where, wait, is this issue 4? Am I looking at it? Yeah, issue 4. And, it's when Namor confronts, like, a bunch of heroes that are gathered up on top of a roof.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, on the bottom panel, on the bottom of the page, it shows Iron Fist, and he looks like he's wearing oven mitts on his hands.
Are his fists? Irons?
Oh, yeah, the irons!
And he's holding together.
Oh!
Okay, that's amazing.
I didn't... Yes.
Yes. There it is.
So is his name Irons Fist?
Oh, yes. And there's a thing here. He's just all black rocks.
Yeah. It's Luke Cage. Cyclops. Pretty funny.
Oh yeah, Beast is extra beastie. Oh, that was a good. That was Namor hits Iron Man with Beast, like picks him up by the throat and swings Beast around and hits Iron Man with him.
And then Beast has the Captain America shield stuck in his back.
Yeah.
I love how like
he's carrying Beast around for like 3 pages. Namor, you're such a badass.
You know, the art is really a highlight of this. And it's like the little details that Kevin Maguire put in, like in issue 5, the leash that Umar is using on Bruce Banner, it's like clearly like magical, right? It's like an energy thing and it's got a spiked collar, but the handle looks exactly like a regular leash handle. You know, the one that like, I don't know what
it's
called.
Oh yeah, like a dog leash
like
that
retracts.
Has like the retractable, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And Bruce seems to be cool with it. He's just so relaxed.
Yeah. And then Hulk puts his head out by
clapping his head. And that's how they win. Hulk just claps his hands and kills him. Now I'm looking at this panel trying to figure out who everyone is. So I can see that's Medusa, because she's actually got like the snakes on her head. What is this? This is issue 4, page doesn't say. I don't know. Issue 4, where he's on, where Namor was on the rooftop.
Yeah.
Luke Cage has the chains all on him. And there's just like a sea monster there.
I think that's supposed to be. There's like a underwater inhuman. I think that's supposed to be that guy. Okay. Can't think of what his name is. Oh, I thought when Bruce Banner's hanging upside down at the beginning of issue 4, all the words in his text bubbles are also upside down.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to describe this comic, Andy. It's cute.
Yeah.
There's Speedball and Black Knight. Man, nothing beats that Iron Fist, though. It's amazing.
That one's the best Iron Fist. Yeah, and then when they're trying to be incognito in Dormammu world, even though he's omnipotent and omniscient, and Namor is like, why the fuck are we even doing this? Doctor Strange is going on, because there might be a chance. You're saying hope? No, less than hope, just a chance. Like, you prick, you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. You're just making him wear a beanie.
It's playing off that, like, comic trope, though. You know, how in every super serious comic, someone gets up and says something about how if you still have hope, you have everything, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, you're just dressed like hobos for no reason.
And Strange has that monologue, like, every issue of this run. It feels like he's just constantly monologuing about how there's a fraction of a chance to possibly maybe defeat. I mean, it had nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's the best carryover that this has from the JLI stuff, is that this whole run, they could just as well have done absolutely nothing, right? I mean, Dormammu would have gone and got the power, and Umar would have found some way to scheme and get it back from him, and, like, this was all kind of unnecessary.
Well, the whole thing, like, Dormammu, really his thing is that he's obsessed with Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And you're right, like, they didn't even defeat Dormammu. Umar did, using the Defenders as her tools.
And Hulk, I think she got the most use out of Hulk.
Well, yeah.
Yes, obviously.
Yep. But,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the fun in this comic is just that it's so light and goofy, right? Like, they're not saving the world. They're digging around and insulting each other, and that is funny. It genuinely is.
Yeah, I it's not that they're digging around. I think they're genuinely trying to save the world. But they're just completely... they don't matter.
Well, Doctor Strange wants to save the world. I think Namor wants to leave.
Yeah, he just wants out at this point. He's just done.
And Hulk is busy with other things.
Oh, yeah. He's busy, all right. Silver Surfer's just an idiot, right? He's just on that beach, and everybody changes from human beings to fucking monsters. And he's like, I wonder if something's different. Has anything changed? I felt something different happen.
But even the monsters are like, they don't even... Yeah.
Yeah. They just look different. They're still doing fucking clam bakes in the sand.
Is that how clam bakes work?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
That actually was something I was wondering while reading this comic.
I'm gonna Google that shit.
I love how his primary concern, though, he's like having an existential crisis, and he's like, you can't eat clams out of the sand. It has bacteria. Like, what? Okay.
This is a Silver Surfer mom.
Yeah.
So did you figure out the clam bake thing, Andy?
Yeah, so a normal clam bake goes like this. You dig a big hole in the beach. You line the hole with flat beach rocks. You light a big fire on top of the rocks and then let it burn out and then shovel out the ashes so you just have like these really hot rocks. Then you layer seaweed, then lobster, corn, clams, mussels, chorizo, and potatoes on top of the hot rocks. You top it with more seaweed and then you cover it with sand and you let it cook until everything is done. And then you dig it back up.
That sounds really sketchy.
That sounds hella sketch.
Yeah, the seaweed part. Like, seaweed smells like death.
And seaweed's not going to protect it from bacteria and shit in the dirt.
Yeah. This is gross.
Did they invent this shit in New England? Is this like a New England thing? Because I know clams are a New England thing.
Maybe our beaches are just, like, nastier.
They're pretty nasty.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking at this. They look pretty nasty. It's pictures of people doing a clam bake, and it doesn't look appetizing. Yeah, that's... Now that there's like, a lobster peeking out here, it's just in the dirt. It's just a dirty lobster you have now. What are you doing? Just put it in a pot and cook it. What are you... There's no way that that's that much better that it's worth it.
Well, I mean, for a lobster and a clam... Wait, clams open when you cook them.
Yeah, you get fucking dirt in there.
The lobster I get because you have to crack it open. Its exoskeleton will protect it. So, that worked. This has gotten way off track. I'm sorry.
Well, we're tackling the tough questions.
Yeah. Yeah. So is Silver Surfer. I like how the end he's just like, this is fucking pointless. You all are dumb.
Yeah.
Well, he lectures them, and then they kind of, like, look at him sad, and then they start smiling again. They're like, cool. I like them.
So what was the purpose of the Silver Surfer stuff in this? Is it just because Silver Surfer is a core member of the Defenders team, and he needed to be here?
Yes. Or... I think that's absolutely 100% correct.
Okay. Because I was trying to think, is there some kind of allegory or metaphor they're trying to make between like Namor and Doctor Strange and the motherfuckers on the beach?
I don't think so, Andy.
Like, I don't know. I'm grasping here. I'm trying.
I think it's more like Silver Surfer is powerful enough to have stopped all of this in its tracks, but he's the one who actually refused to come.
I mean, he was busy.
Yeah, he was. Important beach stuff.
Well, he finally found kindred spirits that like to surf. Which is kind of funny that he had, like, no concept of surfers before this, but, you know, comics.
Yeah, you'd think. Well, then what was he using his surfboard for before he became a Herald of Galactus? Or did Galactus give him a surf? So Galactus gave him a surf? So Galactus is the surfing fan?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That gives me so much more respect for Galactus.
He wanted his Herald to be hip with the kids of the day.
Well, it means that Galactus has more style points. Like, you thought Galactus had style points because of the hats and the short shorts.
Man, remember that part in the Hercules book where he takes his hat off? So weird.
Yes.
Yes. But not only does he have...
Like, guy.
Not only does he have that fashion stuff, he also is hip enough to like, yeah. You know, I'm not just going to give you the power to fly. I'm going to give you a surfboard to fly on because that's fucking cool. You hear me, buddy?
It's pretty cool.
You hear me, Norrin? You're going to get a surfboard.
Hey, maybe he gave him a surfboard because his name's Norrin Rad and he really wanted it to be rad.
Yes. I feel like this is the kind of comic that if we had like an in-person comic book club, I would want to do that comic book club like extra drunk. Like this is the kind that would get funnier with substance abuse. And I don't want to encourage substance abuse. But I don't know. I don't know. Like there's just I like this. It's funny, and I feel like I'm constantly apologizing for not liking it more.
Well, because Andy, you in particular have a special relationship with the Justice League comics.
And we love these people. We've given high marks to all of these people in their other work before.
I'm going to give this one high marks.
Yeah?
But I think the problem is I'm trying not to compare it. The trouble is not comparing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To something that we love, you know?
That's true. I mean, we've said earlier in this episode that we've talked about Kevin Maguire's work as an artist before. And that, of course, you know, he's fantastic, but I think it just, we should talk a little bit again here about how it's good, not just the little touches of like Iron's fists and the dog leash. But yeah, if you want to know how to like draw emotive comic book faces, you need to study Kevin Maguire. Cause I'm on a page right now where they first run into Dormammu World, Bruce Banner. And Namor is just, like, holding his nose in this absolute perfect look of disgust. And nobody else in comics creates a look of disgust quite that accurately. And what I appreciate most about Kevin Maguire is that when somebody just has... when a character on the page has just, like, a big, like, just monologue of text... you don't just get that person's hero pose and like them smiling and the words coming through the teeth. You get like, if I were talking to you and being really emotive with my face and you just took pictures randomly of like the faces when I'm making different vowel sounds, that's what Kevin Maguire draws. And it's great because as you're reading the page, it's not that, you know, you couldn't tell who's reading because the text bubbles go in the direction of the person, but it gives you more of a sense that they're not just... it makes them more relatable as characters because you see them as actual people and not just as icons of what they're supposed to represent. This artwork helps bring them down to the level that makes them funny and helps bring them down to the level where you're like, oh, yeah, that's, sure, he's Doctor Strange, Sorcerer Supreme and all that, but he's also just a pompous asshole. And I know pompous assholes, and they make that face when they talk to. You know, it's like, it's really, we kind of glossed over it because we've talked about his work on the show so many times before, but for anybody who hasn't heard those episodes, like, that to me, that's what makes Kevin Maguire so good, is that his face work is able to convey so much that you don't even notice, and it's a great epitome of why this kind of story only works as a comic book. Not just because it's a cape comic and all of that, because it'd be really, like, this kind of story would feel silly in the novel or anything like that, but the art here conveys so much, so efficiently, in so little space, that this is why comics exist, for Kevin Maguire, and for art of this caliber. So I never want to give short shift when we talked about Kevin Maguire's art.
Are you saying God created comics as a place for Kevin Maguire to flex his muscles?
Yeah.
Sure. Seems legit.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Seems legit, Andy.
I'm okay with making that statement confidently. I mean, maybe not Kevin Maguire solely, but there are other people that God also probably thought of and will have thought of in the future. But for right now, yeah, probably mostly Kevin Maguire.
Legit.
Do you guys want to rate this? I mean, this will be a short episode, but I feel like we're talking in circles already.
Yeah, and plus, I think...
I'm tired. You're tired.
I'm sick.
Jen's got a whole day ahead of her, so... how about you go first, Jen?
Okay. All right. The more we talk about this, the more I like it, actually. And that's a good thing. I'm going to give this a 3.5. I thought that... like we said at the beginning, I was a little bored, and I was also amused, but, you know, I think it's because the comic is balancing humor and action, but doesn't, like, weigh heavily on one side or the other. So that was what detracted from me, but, oh man, like, it's true, the art in this is so good, and the dialogue is genuinely funny. Like, I think a lot of the time we see people monologue like Dormammu and Doctor Strange and Namor, and they come across as like very vaudeville melodramatic. And it's like you're supposed to take it seriously, but here it's so goofy that when these people do it, you know they're just being assholes. And I think that's like a fun way to look at these characters. Like, they're jerks, and that's okay because they're still interesting and fun. But yeah, like, the more I think about it, the more I actually really did enjoy sitting down and reading this comic. It was a nice bit of levity. So 3.5.
All right. David?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna I'm also gonna give it a 3.5. I think, you know, it's a good comic. And you know, it's funny, like Jen said, the art is amazing. And you know, I think that the creative team does just an amazing job on this. Consider, and you know, if you like this, you should really, and you haven't read the Justice League stuff, you really should go read it, because if you enjoyed this, you're definitely going to enjoy that. But this is funny, and it's nice and short and compact. You don't have to spend a ton of time like slogging through anything. It's just a really fun read, and you know, we spent a lot of time trying not to compare it to the Justice League stuff, but
it's impossible not to.
it's impossible, and this is just a great, you know, this is great. I don't know what else to say about it. It's good.
Yeah, I'm going to give this. I'm going to give this a 3.5 too. We'll give it a unanimous 3.5. 4 sounds too high, and 3 sounds too low, so 3.5 is perfect. And there's just so many little moments in here that I forgot. Like Doctor Strange accidentally calling Wong his manservant, and Nightmare calling him out on it, and then later on Wong is like doing Doctor Strange's laundry, and Dormammu shows up in the laundry room, and he's like, "Oh, this is what you have to tell yourself to make it okay to do Doctor Strange's laundry, that it gives you spiritual purpose." That's bullshit. Like washing his underwear is sacred. Come on. And it's good because what they're doing here is calling out all of these tropes that we see in comics all the time, and that we, like you say, we're told to take them seriously, and sometimes we do take them seriously. But I mean, Wong being the servant, sure, there is some probably sacred purpose to it, but really, come on, you're doing laundry. Steven could probably do his own laundry. It's fine. So I mean,
he's
like
magic, right? He's magical. He could probably just do a spell.
Yeah, like Fantasia, just make the things come alive and then they'll clean themselves. But like what they're doing here is a lot of the same stuff: a lot of calling out the tropes and making fun of them, and still making a lighthearted, fun story that works through that. And it's a fun read. I mean, it's not the 5 we constantly give the Justice League stuff, but this is still really solid. And this art is always, I mean, I'm never not going to be enamored with Kevin McGuire's art. So that's always going to give a comic over a 2.5 at least. It could be the worst comic ever, but if it was drawn by Kevin McGuire, 3. Like, he should remix Spawn, really. That would be so much better. Oh my god. That super melodramatic, over-the-top Spawn comic redone by Kevin McGuire. Oh shit, that would actually be fantastic.
It would be pretty hilarious.
I would read the shit out of that. Okay, we're tired. That's it for this Netflix 2016 run. This one was totally, I mean, this is not going to prepare you at all for Netflix, but now you can say, oh, well, I read The Real Defenders and it's nothing like what's on Netflix.
Yeah, you can lord that over your casual friends.
Yeah, you can go the hipster route now. Anyway, we're going to follow this up with the Death of Superman series. So next week, we're going to read The Death of Superman. It collects a bunch of different stuff, like from Superman, Man of Steel, Justice League, Superman Adventures, Action Comics. There's like 5 different runs it pulls from. But just go to welcometocomics.com. On the left, there's a button that's like Future Shows. You click on that, and there'll be a little picture of what we're reading next to the episode number and a little link to Amazon for the exact trade that we're going to be reading. So next, we're going to read Death of Superman. Then we're going to follow that up with World Without a Superman, which is just everybody kind of mourning and sad, like you do. And then we're going to follow that up with The Return of Superman, which is where we get Eradicator, Metropolis Kid, Cyborg, Steel, and Mullet Black Suit Superman. So The Return of Superman, I think, is what we really want to read. It's going to be the payoff. But yeah, Death of Superman, World Without a Superman, and Return of Superman. Because these were pivotal in the history of comics, and I feel like we should read them.
I feel like reading them.
Yeah, and I mean, there's that really good. Oh, who did that really good video about why the death of Superman is important?
Max Landis.
Yes, that video is so good. We'll have to talk about that next week as well. So I'll put a link on that somewhere. If you go to the Future Shows page or follow us on Facebook or Twitter, I'll probably post it. I know the interest says we do Tumblr, but I honestly haven't logged into our Tumblr in like a year. So I need to cut that out of the intro.
Yeah. Me neither.
Yep. Anyway, I'll put that up somewhere. But that's next week. Until then, everybody, goodbye.
Goodbye.